History reveals a disturbing pattern. Powerful women face identical attacks across millennia, from ancient Egyptian pharaoh Hatshepsut to modern figures like Hillary Clinton. Women who seek authority encounter the same sexist playbook, labeled as whores, witches, ugly, shrill, and power hungry. This organized vilification has enforced patriarchal control for over 3,000 years through what Eleanor Herman calls the Misogynist's Handbook. Most disturbing is how this hatred manifests not just in criticism, but in calls for violence. Today's lock-her-up chants are merely civilized versions of off with her head. The bloodlust directed at powerful women reveals misogyny's most dangerous face, with figures like Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer facing threats of lynching and even a kidnapping plot. Perhaps most surprising, women perpetuate this hatred too. 52% of misogynistic tweets come from women, showing how deeply we've internalized these ancient patterns of control. Our cultural foundations, biblical texts, and Greek myths blame women for humanity's suffering. Eve's ambition caused mankind's fall. Pandora released the world's plagues. By 200 CE, Tertullian called women the devil's gateway, responsible for Jesus' death. Throughout history, from Delilah to Jezebel, women are blamed while men's failings are excused. Misogyny likely stems from men's envy of women's ability to create life. Ancient peoples recognized women's connection to nature through menstruation and childbirth. The earliest human sculptures emphasized female reproductive features. Eventually, the patriarchy dismantled women's status. Aristotle reduced women to vessels for men's seed, while religious texts demanded women's silence. Ambitious women historically disguised their desires for power. In 1479 BCE, Hatshepsut claimed the god Amun told her to rule. When Elizabeth Tudor became queen in 1558, she portrayed her ascension as a burden rather than something desired. Anne Boleyn wasn't the manipulative seductress of legend, but a religious reformer and philanthropist. Her crime was ambition, using intelligence to improve her position, admired in men but condemned in women. Even now, ambitious women face suspicion. Hillary Clinton's popularity soared as First Lady, but plummeted when pursuing her own agenda. Clinton noted women are likable when serving others, but perception changes when they say, "I'm going in this for myself." Female politicians face impossible appearance standards. Marie Antoinette was ridiculed for elaborate fashions, then criticized for dressing simply. Modern leaders experience similar no-win situations. Hillary Clinton noted male colleagues can just shower, shave, put on a suit, while she faced scrutiny for appearing without makeup. Julia Gillard tracked outfits to avoid repetition. Media coverage of female politicians fixates on appearance. When Gillard became Australia's deputy labor leader, the Daily Telegraph criticized her frumpy 80s tapestry print jacket rather than highlighting her achievement. Research shows that any mention of a female politician's appearance, even positive comments, undermines public perception of her competence. Female politicians navigate an impossible wardrobe dilemma. Dark colors seem threatening, pastels suggest weakness, bright colors appear attention-seeking, baggy clothes look frumpy, and tailored outfits read as cold. Many adopt the pantsuit as their uniform, a feminized version of masculine power dressing that says, "Listen to me, don't look at me," as Clinton explained. While media occasionally mocks powerful men's hair, women face relentless criticism about their appearance. Female politicians often adopt helmet hair, a smooth bob between earlobe and shoulder, to minimize commentary. Hillary Clinton was criticized for every hairstyle, while Bernie Sanders' disheveled look was praised as authentic. The silencing of women's voices has deep roots in Western history. Women's voices have been described as shrill, nagging, or compared to animal sounds. Modern female politicians face constant voice criticism. Hillary Clinton's voice called an ice pick in the ear, while male politicians rarely receive similar scrutiny for their vocal delivery. Many female leaders seek voice training to counter criticism. Margaret Thatcher worked to lower her pitch, but was still called too headmistressy. Women in power are routinely interrupted, as when Kamala Harris had to repeatedly assert, "Mr. Vice President, I'm speaking," during the 2020 vice presidential debate. The fundamental issue persists. Society expects the voice of authority to be male. Despite winning debates and polls, women like Kamala Harris are immediately labeled unlikable by commentators. This nebulous criticism affects virtually all female candidates, a discomfort voters feel but can't define. While voters may dislike male politicians personally yet support their policies, they simply won't vote for women they don't like, regardless of qualifications. Female candidates must perform an impossible balancing act, showing strength while maintaining warmth, projecting confidence without seeming arrogant, displaying emotion without appearing weak, and showing ambition without being labeled calculating. Depicting powerful women as witches is perhaps misogyny's oldest tactic. Harris was portrayed as the Wicked Witch of the West as Biden's running mate. Margaret Thatcher was caricatured riding broomsticks, with "Ding dong, the witch is dead" trending after her death. Hillary Clinton has faced countless witch comparisons. In the 5th century, mathematician Hypatia gained political influence before being killed by a mob who claimed she had enchanted officials through satanic wiles. Female politicians are also dehumanized as meat and animals. Australia's Menugate scandal featured a fundraiser menu describing Prime Minister Julia Gillard in crude anatomical terms, a degradation male politicians rarely face. Female candidates face the persistent demand to smile. If they don't, men instruct them to do so. Carly Fiorina received criticism for not smiling during policy discussions. This demand is fundamentally about control, as a smiling woman confirms patriarchal expectations of feminine pleasantness. Powerful women are often viewed as inherently untrustworthy, perhaps because their authority violates gender expectations. When Helen Clark became New Zealand's labor leader, media described her with Mike Moore's blood still fresh on her hands after a standard leadership vote. Similarly, when Julia Gillard replaced Kevin Rudd as Australia's prime minister, media claimed she killed and executed him. Violent metaphors rarely applied to men in similar situations. What would a world without misogyny look like? With half of political positions and Fortune 500 CEOs being women, legislation would prioritize childcare, healthcare, and working families. After millennia of beheading, silencing, and shaming powerful women, ending misogyny requires concrete action. Key approaches include regulating social media platforms to prevent sexist disinformation about female politicians and creating more diverse newsrooms. As of 2018, 90% of top editors at major newspapers were white and 73% male, skewing coverage of women and people of color. Research shows women benefit from responding to sexist attacks rather than ignoring them, as Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez demonstrated with her speech after being called a fucking bitch on the Capitol steps. Men in positions of influence must stand against sexism rather than remaining silent. Electing more women normalizes female leadership and breaks the imagination barrier that prevents voters from picturing women in power. Despite intensifying backlash as progress threatens the status quo, there's hope. Today's youth grow up seeing multiple women and people of color on debate stages. As Julia Gillard notes, it will be easier for the next woman and the woman after that.